Steven Root is a longtime actor of stage, screen, and television who may be best known as the Milton character from 1999's Office Space, written and directed by Mike Judge. In celebration of the 25th anniversary of the film, which was made here in Austin, South by Southwest is holding a reunion of cast and crew at this year's festival. It is Saturday, March 9th. You can find out more info and maybe even snag yourself a badge to attend this event at sxsw.com. And now, nice enough to join me for a few minutes to talk about that and more is the man himself, Steven Root. Steven, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
Oh, having a great time. It's not raining in California for the first time in a while, so it's pretty great.
Well, congratulations on that. I think you're going to get cooler temperatures here in Austin this weekend. It's currently in the 80s. I think there's a high of 91 tomorrow, but it's going to cool back off into the upper 60s for a high for this Office Space reunion over the weekend. And
lovely.
Boy, what better movie to have a reunion in Austin? I guess Dazed and Confused is maybe the other film in that category, but Office Space. I mean, yeah. It is in that pantheon for the city in terms of films that we watch over and over again that we're actually filmed here in town. Just how excited are you to get back together with Mike, of course, with Ron Livingston,
Mike and Ron Livingston and Dave Herman. It's just, we were such a great kind of cohesive group at that time. Plus we'd work with Mike doing King of the Hill. So we were kind of an ensemble anyway. And Richard Reilly and I had gone up together as character actors. I think he was at every audition that I was in the 90s. So we knew each other from, we'd actually done Black Rain together back in the day in New York. And so it's just great to be able to get together with everybody.
So initially, there wasn't necessarily a game plan for you with Office Space. If I am reading these oral histories correctly, you were just going to help him out through table reads and try and get a sense for whether this would work as a movie. And right. You weren't necessarily cast as Milton in the beginning either. So
no, I was going to go over there with Mike and you know, Dave and a few other people that I was going to read. And I did read the psychiatrist. I think I read one of the Bobs. And Milton, but because Mike was going to read Milton, obviously he created it and done a little pencil sketch of it. But then he said, "No, I just want to hear it. So would you read it?" And I said, "Yeah, thanks for the prep." And he told me a little bit about it on the walk over, and we went from there.
And so even though you end up landing the Milton role, which is hugely important to this film's success, I understand that you also killed it with the hypnotist. Not just the speaking lines, but also the heart attack that he suffered too. Is that right?
I had such a good time doing that because I actually prepared for that for the reading. I said, I think people thought I was actually something wrong with me. But I said, yeah, I'm going to just keep doing this as if I'm having a heart attack. And it was blast. It was really fun. And of course, I think, you know, the Bobs are so important to this movie. It was fun to play one of them. But yeah, it was the most fun doing the psychiatrist and Milton in that one.
And as soon as you nailed Milton in that read, Mike was refusing to let the studio have their say so with regards to going in a different direction there. But you still had to audition three times. I mean, were there things that you were improving on each time, or was it you going in and giving the very similar performance each time?
No, I think it's maybe we probably nudged it a little bit, and I put maybe a little more lisp on him than Mike had thought about, but nothing hugely different from the table read. We were mostly reading for different producers in different suits at Fox. So it's pretty much the normal operation of getting a film done there.
And did you actually improvise part of that squirrels having sex on the line outside your window scene? One of those seminal lines.
I came up with a couple of lines. That was one of my favorites. It was, I couldn't think of how would Milton describe two squirrels having sex. And it was they had to be married because in his mind, his crazy little mind, that couldn't happen unless the squirrels were married. So,
Yeah, is there another improvised line of yours that you're especially proud of all these years later?
yeah, I didn't have any written dialogue, I think, for the cake scene. Mike basically he said, just come in through these two people and you don't get the cake. So all of that dialogue pretty much was improvised. And probably my favorite of that was there's the people to the ratio of cake. It's not right. I don't remember what the line was, but the ratio was included.
It's also fun to go back and watch the scenes between you and Gary Cole. I won't say relative unknowns at this time because you had already really made a name for yourself in news radio, a show that I loved, by the way, and as a voice
Thanks.
actor. And you'd appeared in a lot of sitcoms throughout the 1990s, too. But all these
Oh,
years
yeah.
later, you and Gary Cole have established yourselves as two of the best character actors in Hollywood. I don't know if anybody realized the greatness that they were in the presence of as you guys were fighting for that red stapler way back in the late 1990s.
Well, both of us had been pretty successful as guest stars in a lot of different shows.
Yeah.
And whether they were, they could have been sitcoms, they could have been our dramatics, but we were pretty well known within the casting director universe at the time in the early 90s. Then my breakout was news radio, obviously, because I was on every week, even though they moved us every week.
Yeah.
But Gary was in the same boat. I mean, we were all still auditioning character actors, but we were working actors, and we were proud of that.
Yeah, boy, thinking back to news radio, man, I'm not kidding you when I tell you that I love that show. I've always been drawn to shows about the inner workings of broadcasting, but more specifically, radio too. And when it reappeared on Amazon a few years ago, I happily went back and binge watched that series once again. What did you love about getting to work for that series, Stephen?
The freedom that I hardly ever get, that an actor hardly ever gets to be able to throw a line in because Paul Sims was happy to let anybody throw it. You could have the phone page could throw in a line. If it was funny, we'd keep it. And I hadn't after that show, I didn't have that experience really until Barry, because Bill is such an improv guy, and a lot of those people came from improv backgrounds. I did not. So it was a little more improv than I was used to. But that was the biggest freedom I had was Barry since that show, because everybody could improv with everybody else on news radio. I mean, I could be funny with Joe, I could be funny with Maura, and the same could be said of each single guy. Everybody could be funny with everybody else. Doesn't happen often.
Yeah, it's crazy to look back on that cast. Obviously, Andy Dick is a part of the cast. Eventually, Lovitz is after Bill's unfortunate death too. And thinking ahead to just the brilliance of Barry, and then also what you were able to do as Fuchs. How quickly did you get comfortable in that I guess greater improvisational role, considering that you were surrounded by SNL alums and other folks who are ju that's just what their life has been for decades.
Right. It the first year was a little uncomfortable for me because that's just not how I came up. I was a guy that you do this line, and then maybe sometimes you wrote a line in your head and you'd pitch it, like at news radio. But just to come up and do some kind of improv was harder for me in the first season, but it got easier because we would do it more. Bill would throw out more stuff and say, "What would you say here?" I'd probably say this, but that's the basis of acting anyway. All your emotions, character, and dialogue would come from you being that character, and it should be a normal thing that you speak as that character. So it became easier as you do the character longer. And when you're doing a season's worth of it, and you have some brilliant directors like Hiro Murai and Bill, and just we had a lot of really wonderful directors and very creative people.
Thinking back to Office Space, that wasn't your first time to work with Mike Judge, as we previously discussed. King of the Hill, you would work with him on Beavis and Butthead projects in the future, Idiocracy, obviously, and reboot of the King of the Hill, which we may talk about in just a second. What do you love about working with Mike Judge, though, Stephen?
Oh, that he's a rebel. You know, I don't think anybody could have made Idiocracy at the time that he made it but him. And he foretold the future that we're having now. Way back then. I think he's a fortune teller, a foreseer. And the fact that he kind of started just doing little animation projects himself, and that he stayed true to his squirrely images is a tribute to he does what he wants to do, and doesn't follow the lead of corporations or anything else. He actually lampoons them. So I think it's just Mike's brain. Mike's brain works in a different way, and I'm happy to go along with his brain.
Well, he was taking chances early on with those animations that was putting together. I feel like you can maybe connect with that, though, because you made the move from New York to L.A., and according to internet lore, which you take 5 to 95% of everything read on the internet with a grain of salt, you took a chance on yourself and said, look, I just want to be cast and stuff. I need to work hard. I need to be the hardest working guy in this business.
Yeah.
Make it. And sure enough, all these years later, you have.
At some point, you have to take a chance on yourself and do what you want to do, because, you know, if you're only doing sitcoms, that's all casting director is going to see you as, and you're going to have a one note career. And I came from theater doing many different characters. I always wanted to do many different characters. So I really worked hard to change my perception, you know, after I'd done news radio for a while and done some other sitcoms. It's like, time for me to do something else. So I consciously wanted to get into Our Dramatics, which I got into in West Wing and various other shows, Boardwalk Empire and stuff. But you really kind of have to educate the casting world around you and say, look, I can do something else, and I can do it well. Because I mean, my background started for 3 years touring Shakespeare. So, and that's Sitcoms Incorporated and Drama Incorporated itself. So yeah, you have to make a choice of how you want your career to go. And so I was pretty specific about changing it up.
Was there ever a role or a project where once you had landed that, you felt like you had made it?
No. and you can ask every character actor that, or just, you know, actor that. It's like, no, you never feel like you've made it, because hopefully your goal is not to make it. It's to do good work over a long period of time. And if you get in something as good as News Radio and or Barry or Boardwalk Empire, what you want to do is just be as good as you can be. And while you're doing that project, you can be satisfied in that, but then that project's gone and you're on to the next one. So I don't know of any actor who feels like they've made it. It's just a series of plateaus, and you try to do the best you can.
You also want to stay hungry too, and that sense of making and lead to
you want to walk the tightrope, you know.
Yeah.
If you don't walk the tightrope, if you're not scared to do a role or nervous, you shouldn't be doing that role. You should be doing the role that makes you nervous and makes you better.
What was the last role that made you really nervous?
The last three episodes of Barry.
Yeah.
I told Bill, baby, I would never be cast as this guy. I would never go up for this guy. And you're wanting me to do this guy. And he said, yeah, I know. You're going to have fun. Go put on the tattoos and shut up. And we did have fun. We had a great time. And that's one of those deals where sometimes the clothes make the man, you know. I can get tatted up, and it was easier just to be him at that point. I mean, Fuchs Fuchs was really screwed up guy, but he also had a kind of a deep humanity and love for Barry. But you know, this the end of that series, he didn't have too much. So it was interesting.
Yeah, there were some people that were critical of how dark that show got at the end, but I think that was the natural evolution of that show too. What did you think about the way that that show ended?
I agree 100%. I mean, you're not going to get a guy with PTSD being funnier. He's not gonna lighten up at the end of his road. And I thought that was a completely natural way to go. You could say Barry wasn't a comedy, but then you could say The Bear isn't a comedy, and White Lotus isn't a comedy, but they are. So I think it ended the way it should have ended. Could it be revived in some aspect with people around it? Yeah, you probably could, but this was the natural ending to this version of events.
What do you think Fuchs is doing a year later?
Recruiting another Barry, but doing it much better because he now has some cred from prison and doesn't take shit anymore. I think he'd probably do a really good job in the same job that he had with a different guy.
Great answer. So one of the many TV credits that you have involves one of my favorite all-time comedians, Stephen, and that would be Norm Macdonald. You did a couple of episodes of Norm. You have any good Norm stories to share? Because inevitably, just about anybody who spent time around him has a Norm story or two.
I wish I had something great to tell you, but my part in that and those shows was so kind of showy anyway. I was a cross dresser with beautiful shoulders and legs that I got to I think dress up as a woman during the show or take off clothes during the, I don't remember, but he was always a delight because as a lot of people that I work with, he goes this way and then immediately that way. And he would always come out with non sequiturs. Could I give you one? No. But he spoke in non sequiturs almost always and was an absolute joy to be around. If anybody has the gumption, they should go try to see his stuff again online because he was one of the great comedians of all time.
No doubt about that. And a lot of people were thrilled to learn last year that King of the Hill was going to get a reboot on Hulu. Are y'all in the middle of production right now? And if so, how is that going?
Yes, sir. We are in the middle of production. We were picked up for 2 seasons. We've completed recording 1 season's worth. We're currently on the next one. It's a challenge for us because we had a death. Johnny Hardwick, who plays Dale in the show, passed. But he certainly is still part of Dale is still part of the show and is going to be not missed. He will be right there. How we're going to do that is under discussion. But yeah, we're recording now, and it's a different, it's a different vibe, but it's kind of great because we've jumped 10 years from when King of the Hill ended. So naturally, like 10 years later, we got rebooted. So Bobby is now no longer 12, he's 22.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that's as much as I can tell you about what we're doing, but it's a kind of a new universe for King of the Hill, yet the same.
I know AI produced acting and voiceovers is a very polarizing topic in Hollywood, as it should be. I don't give a damn. The human thing is never going to be beat by the computerized digital thing
Oh,
in my
yeah, I
mind.
agree.
But it Was there has there been some thought given to possibly doing an AI deepfake for Dale just to maintain the consistency, I guess, of the character's voice while still
That's
trying to
certainly
make
one of
sure
the
that he's part of the
scenarios
show?
we're doing. It wouldn't be, I think, if that happened, it wouldn't be without having a human counterpart along with it as well. But that all that stuff is under consideration, and they're talking about that now.
All right, last question now, Stephen. What do you think the lasting memory is, or the lasting legacy is, of Office Space with a celebration of the 25th anniversary coming up this weekend at South by Southwest?
That at some point in everybody's life, they should take their computer and smash the shit out of it. Because that's how I think everybody feels at some point. And that you can take technology and shove it. So I think that's the lasting lasting message of Office Space.
Yeah, and in this era of remote work and Zoom meetings, I don't even know how possible it would be to make an office space in 2024 either.
Yeah, I don't know. But if anybody could do it, Mike could.
No doubt about that. So, well, he is Stephen Root. I have no doubts that if Mike were to try and redo Office Space in some way, shape, or form, Stephen would find his way into that film. One of
I'd
the
worm my
all-time great
way in there
characters.
somehow.
Yeah,
Maybe
exactly.
I
One of
get
the
to play
all-time
the
great characters.
psychiatrist this time.
Hey, let's go.
You never
Hypnotist. Maybe you can play one of
know.
the Bobs. Maybe we can just do a complete recasting. Ron Livingston is
There
playing
you go.
Lundberg. Gary Cole's
Yeah,
playing.
like when you're doing a play and you switch parts, just whoop, do a new movie with different people
That's right.
in
White
different
elephant,
roles.
white elephant cast, if you will. He is Stephen Root. Stephen, thank you so much for the time today. Safe travels to
Thank
and from
you.
Austin. Have a blast at that Office Space reunion this weekend.
So appreciate it. Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks to Gentleman Jesus for the intro and outro music. Hear more of his work at gentlemanjesus.com. And thanks to you for hanging out. For more of the show and to connect on social media, visit booksonpod.com. Talk to you next time on Books on Pod.